If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would please find the 13th chapter of the book of Luke. Luke chapter number 13 will be our text today. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. Please feel free to pick it up and to use it. If you're not sure how to navigate your way around the Bible, you could open up your bulletin. I did put the scripture passage there. If you're visiting with us, we take great pride in the fact that the preaching from Plantation Baptist Church comes out of the Word of God, and we would love for you to be able to follow along. I know that I sound like a mess, and for that I am sorry, but I am not spiritually a mess today. I'm doing just fine, and so I would beg you to give me your concentration. Today, you're going to have to work just as hard as I do at church. I know sometimes people come to church to get a good nap. Today won't be that day. All right. And I'll do my best to make it through. The pace will have to be what it is. Otherwise, I lose my breath. Verse number 6, if you would please, Luke chapter 13. The Bible says, "He spake also this parable. Certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came and he sought fruit thereon. And he found what, class? He found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these, how many years? 3 years. I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" And he, that would be the dresser of the vineyard, answering, said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year, till I dig about it, and dung it, or fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down." Our text today finds ourselves in the book of Luke chapter 13. God laid this parable on my heart. God laid a message on my heart for the very first Sunday of the new year. My introduction might be a little touchy and it might be a little sensitive, but I want you to hang with me. Parable is really given to the nation of Israel. In the Bible, if you're not a Bible student, a parable was a story that the Lord Jesus would tell. It was used like a window to let light into their understanding. And so when the Lord wanted to communicate a truth about someone or about something, and they needed a little help in understanding that truth, he would tell them a story. He would take the birds of the air. He would take the fish of the sea. He would take a fig tree, something that they were very, very familiar with, and he would tell a story about it. And in that story, there would be wonderful application for the nation of Israel, such is the case here. The parable is told within the context of the Lord trying to teach the nation of Israel something. Would you look at verse number 1? The Bible says there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Pilate had killed some Galilean folks, and to mock them, he put their blood with sacrifices. This information was given to Jesus, and look at verse number 2. And Jesus answering said unto them, what's that first word? Suppose. They had a supposition problem. Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay, but except ye, what's that word, class? Repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The nation of Israel had a problem. And their problem was they thought they were really better than what they really were. They thought themselves to be more righteous just because they were Jews. They thought themselves to be righteous within themselves. And they thought everybody else to just be pagan heathens. This particular group of people, they thought because nothing bad had happened to them that they somehow were more righteous than others. I just want to stop right here and say something. 2016 may have been a bad year for you. 2016 may have been a hard year for you. Sometimes we think because bad things happen to us, God somehow is disappointed with us. My friend, just because bad things happen to you doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. And just because bad things happen doesn't mean that God's disappointed with you. We live in an evil world. I mean, then if you think that's true, then you explain to me something. Did God love Jesus? Something bad happened to Jesus? Yeah. And the Father said, you better pay attention, boy. That's my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Sometimes we have a supposition problem. And we think that just because things around us are happening, we either elevate ourselves in our mind or we belittle ourselves in our mind. Bad things happen because we live in an evil world. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our lives to test and try us. Sometimes things happen in our lives as a consequence. But just because something bad happens doesn't mean that God is somehow disappointed in you. Or just the opposite. Because nothing bad has ever happened doesn't mean that somehow you merit anything better. All men are born sinners. So the Lord's got these arrogant cusses over here. And they think, because a tower didn't fall on them and kill those 18, or because their blood wasn't mingled and killed over here, they somehow were better. And the Lord's telling them, now listen, you need to repent or you also are going to perish. It's really a parable about the saving of Israel. And so he gives them a story and he tells them about this fig tree. And the fig tree represents the nation of Israel. And the owner of the vineyard is God. And God, like this owner, had taken the nation of Israel and he had blessed the nation of Israel and he had put them, quote unquote, within his vineyard. He brought them out of a nothing people. He established them. He gave them lands. He blessed the nation beyond belief. And he took that unloving or undeserving people and he put them in his vineyard. And his expectation was that the nation of Israel would bear fruit, that they would honor the Lord, that they would love the Lord with all their heart, mind, and soul, and that they would go forward into those lands and that they would be used of God to tell the world about Christ. Unfortunately, the nation of Israel was like that fig tree and they had produced no fruit. And so God was willing to just cut them down. The dresser of the vineyard is the Lord. It's Jesus. The Bible has said that the tree had been planted for 3 years, and you know that the Lord Jesus had a preaching ministry of 3.5 years. And so for 3 years, the Lord had said, let the nation alone, and I'll dig around it, and I'll preach to it, and let's see what happens. And we understand that Pentecost gave them a second chance, and we understand that the nation of Israel did what it was going to do. I find within this parable a wonderful perspective, I think, for application for our lives today. And I think that the nation of Israel, and represented by this fig tree, when you think about the fact that God wanted, the owner of that vineyard wanted to cut down that fig tree, and the dresser of the vineyard protected that fig tree from being destroyed, I don't know about you, but I think that fig tree was just glad to be alive. And that's what I want to preach to you today about. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be alive. If you're glad to be alive, say amen. We've had a hard year in our church, man. We have buried some wonderful people. We will do it again this Saturday. The longer I pastor people, and the longer that we minister in this community, the more people you love, you live with, you minister with, and as they go on to heaven, man, it leaves a big hole in your heart. I look back over 2016, and on the first day of 2017, I'm glad to be alive. I'm glad to have breath in my body, even though I don't necessarily feel it in there right now. The songwriter said, life is now sweet, my joy is complete. If you know the Lord, you know the truth of that. And God laid this burden on my heart for the message today to encourage you in your life and to make you stop and think and appreciate being alive today. The fig tree was spared by the dresser. God has spared your life in 2016. You're here today because God has allowed you to live. If God wanted to take you home to heaven, God could have taken you home to heaven. If God wanted to allow your time to be, then your life could be over. But all of us need to understand that God spared our lives in 2016, and I think we should give him glory. That little tree was just moments from having it jerked out of the ground and the life taken from that tree. Cast aside, the Bible said it would have been burned, but God spared it. God spared that tree because God had a purpose for that tree. And the purpose for that tree is that that tree would have borne fruit. God has spared your life because God has a purpose for your life. It's no accident you're alive today. Let me talk to the people who don't know God as your Savior. You've never been saved. Many times over 2016, I meet people who should have died. Has anybody ever had a near-death experience in this room where you know, had God not spared you, you'd be dead today? Could you lift your hand? And sometimes people will say, Pastor, God, I should have been dead. I don't even know why I'm alive, but I'm here. And somehow God spared my life. Now, the inkling of that is to think, well, because God spared my life, he's somehow pleased with me, or somehow I've honored him, or to become very selfish in that moment. But Jesus would remind you, unless you also repent, you will perish. Many times, God spares your life from physical death for a purpose that you would receive Jesus as your Savior. My friends, if God has spared your life, and you're trying to figure out, why would God keep me alive? Pastor, I've had cancer for years. I should have been dead 2 years ago, but I'm still alive. Have you received the Lord? Pastor, I was in a car accident. Everybody died. I walked away. Why? So you could receive the Lord. Pastor, I should have died early in childhood, but God spared my life. Why would God do that? So you could be saved. Pastor, I carry such guilt because I'm still alive. My friend, give your guilt to the Lord and receive the Lord for a purpose. So listen to this, Pastor. Look at me. If you've not been saved, you've never received Christ as your Savior, God spared your life this year so you could have an opportunity to receive him. Christian, God spared your life so you could have an opportunity to glorify the Lord. God spared your life. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God is the God of second chances. And this fig tree, in its perspective, was given a second chance. God's given you a second chance on your life today. Pastor, I'm a Christian and I know God, but 2016 was not a spiritual year for me. It was a tough year for me. I want to give you the perspective of the tree. Just think about this for a moment. If that tree had ears and that tree was able to reason, here's this tree listening to the conversation of the owner and the dresser. And the owner walks up and looks at the tree and the owner says, you stupid tree. 3 years, man, you've been taking up this spot. 3 years you've been in my vineyard. 3 years the dresser has been dressing the tree. 3 years, man, and you haven't produced one stinking fruit. And I think the tree would begin to feel the agitation of the owner. And then all of a sudden the other voice comes up. And the other voice says to the owner, you know what? Just give it a little bit more time. Now, I know a tree can't do this, but I think that tree went, thank you, God. And from that day forward is all that mattered to that tree. Stay with me. Don't lose me. 3 years of failure. 3 years of fruitlessness. 3 years of ineptness. 3 years of nothing were all in the past. And all that mattered was the future. So that's you here today, Christian. 2016 may have been a spiritual failure year, but I would submit to you to forget that which is beyond and which is in the past, and let's move forward. Put that under the blood. Pastor, I was wronged horribly in 2016, and it bothered me. Put it under the blood. Pastor, we suffered in 2016. I understand, but today's a new year. Pastor, you understand the difficulty and the hardship and all of this and that. Right. But the past is the past. You want to be miserable, carry the past with you. The past is heavy. You can't carry your past. What are you going to do? Become bitter? Bitter people are miserable. You know, the Bible says that your heart knows if you're bitter or not. It amazes me how someone will let other people dictate their life. Now, I want to say something. It's my church family's here, right? And you love your pastor. But if I let my joy rest upon you, I'd be miserable. That's just every pastor in the world. If a pastor counted on the people to be his total sustenance for happiness, he would be miserable. Okay? So what I had to learn how to do as a pastor is I had to learn how to care about what only one person thinks, and his name is Jesus. Why would you carry into 2017 what your neighbor thinks? Why would you carry in there about what your family member? Why would you drag the past into 2017? Why don't you just let the past go, submit it to the Lord, put it under the blood, be right with the Lord yourself, and just say it's a new day, and I'm going to go forward. If you believe that, say amen to that. Not only in the perspective of the tree was he grateful to be alive, I think he was grateful for the dresser. The dresser here is represented as the Lord. And the dresser was one who cared for the tree. The dresser was one who was willing to invest in the tree. The dresser was one who saw potential in the tree. The dresser is one that wanted the tree to be blessed. I want to help you in your thinking here. And I know you're going to say, Pastor, duh to this statement, but sometimes people don't believe this. God is not your enemy. God's not your enemy. So many times people think that somehow if I surrender myself to the Lord, that somehow I'm not going to be happy or satisfied, or somehow the Lord doesn't know what's best for me. My friend, it was the dresser that cared for the tree. It was the dresser that went to the owner and said, would you just give some time? Let me work on the tree. I think the tree maybe had been resistant in years past. This is a little bit crude, but I think the tree said, pour as much dung on me as you want to. Fertilize me up. Do whatever you have to do. My mother-in-law is here today. And my wife is here today. My mother is home sick from her church. And so instead of watching my dad, she's watching me. Thank you, Mom. Whenever you use your mother-in-law and your wife in the same illustration, you better be careful. So here we go. My mother-in-law passed on a lot of great traits to my wife. My mother-in-law has what the old school people call a green thumb. Anybody know what a green thumb means? Matter of fact, all 10 of her fingers and 10 of her toes are green. The woman can grow anything. My wife did not receive that characteristic trait from my mother-in-law. My wife, her thumbs are as black as you can imagine. Matter of fact, I never saw roses look so dead in my whole life. But if you have the gift of a green thumb, it's a beautiful gift. When my mother-in-law comes to visit us, our outside plants get watered every day. They get nurtured. They get moved from the sun to the shade, from the shade to the sun, whatever they need. When she's gone, Beverly's like, God will take care of them. So my plants, they were all drooped yesterday. They're all standing up nice and straight today. She's back. She's back. She's back. All right. So 2016's over, and you didn't bear much spiritual fruit, Christian. But God loves you, and God will not give up on you. And if you will allow God to work on you a little bit, if you'll allow God to dig around your roots, and you'll allow God to pour a little bit of fertilizer on your life, you'll allow God to kind of move you from sun to shade and give you water when you need it, if you'll allow God to kind of prune you a little bit, you will find that fruit-bearing trees bear fruit naturally. It's unnatural for a fruit-bearing tree to not bear fruit. But you got to be willing for God to work on you. And so in 2017, I would submit to you, why don't you surrender yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to be dry. I don't want to be barren. I don't want to be fruitless. Whatever you want to do in my life, God, work on me a little bit. Spiritually successful people do some things. Spiritually successful people read the Bible. They pray. They come to church. They obey the Lord. They let the Lord work on them. They're not resistant to when God wants to turn up the dirt. They're not resistant when he wants to move them from the shade to the sun or the sun to the shade. They're not resistant to the water that God puts on them. They're not resistant to the shearing of the pruning when it happens. They just know that they can trust God with their life. Listen. If you could just get that through your head. You can trust God with your life. You can trust him. Number three, and I'm done. Not only was that tree grateful to be alive, tree's grateful to the dresser, but I think the tree was grateful to the owner. Would you look at verse number 8, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now, you don't read this in the parable, but we know from the spiritual teaching that the owner was patient. The owner was patient. I think the tree was very grateful for the patience of God. I think God ought to receive glory from you today for the fact that we thank God for his patience. Impatient people are hard to live with, aren't they? Impatient people can be very difficult on us. But God is patient. The owner of that tree did not want that tree. It was not the will of the owner for that tree to be cut down. The will of that owner was for that tree to bear fruit in that vineyard. So let me say this to the unsaved people. It's not God's will that anybody die and go to hell. God wants you to be saved. And so God has spared your life so you could hear about the Lord, repent, and receive Him in your heart. Christian, it's not God's will that you don't bear Him fruit. God wants you to bear Him fruit. He wants you to be blessed in that. And so God's patient with us. It's amazing how impatient we are with God. We treat God horribly if He doesn't move on our behalf, but when we don't move on His behalf, God's so patient with me. Now the devil will try to tell you that God's frustrated with you, and the devil will try to tell you that God's finished with you, but the Bible says that He loves us and He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So 2016 was rough, but God's patient with you. Now there was a time where the tree would be cut down, but that was an extended period, and God gave them an opportunity, just like God's given you an opportunity. Pastor, I didn't finish 2016 right with the Lord. Then I would begin 2017 right with the Lord. You're alive. He spared your life. He has a purpose for you. To know Him, to glorify Him. Let Him work in your life. Forget about the past. Do not drag it into 2017. God has a plan in 2017 that will thrill you. And He's patiently working that with you. Amen? It's going to be a great year. Let's pray. Let's let God have His way.